Hello and welcome. Your world news coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. My name is Gisum Shahmadi.
Arab and Muslim leaders are taking part at a summit in Saudi Arabia that focuses on Israel's deadly and devastating wars in Gaza and Lebanon. The senior officials have unanimously condemned Israel's atrocities and called for action to stop them. Let's take a listen to some of these leaders.
Implementation of UN Resolution 2735 to stop the Israeli aggression and to allow the entry of assistance into the Gaza Strip and an end of the occupation of Gaza Strip and for the Palestinian states to take its responsibility and allow the return of the refugees to their homes to begin with a rebuilding of what the occupation has destroyed and to refuse any sort of separation from Gaza to Al-Quds or to continue this rift between the Gaza Strip and the rest of Palestine and the continuous aggressions that are forced by the settlements and the settlers. Egypt denounces the systematic killing which is being committed against the civilians in the Gaza Strip. And in the name of Egypt, I declare that we will stand in the face of all the projects which target a liquidation of the Palestinian cause, whether through the displacement of the local population, the civilians, and transforming, or the project for transforming the Gaza Strip as a place which is uninhabitable, and we will not accept under any consequence, any circumstances. And we stress that the main condition to go from to a security, a situation where there is only security based on peace and prosperity is the establishment of an independent Palestinian state based on the July 1967 borders with its with Jerusalem, with Al-Quds as its capital. Israel, up until now, is not allowing the humanitarian assistance to reach Gaza, and most of this assistance is being kept in on the borders with Egypt. We stress a realization of a ceasefire, an urgent ceasefire, and there needs to be quick also measures taken to allow the assistance to reach Gaza. Also, the UNRWA organization has recently been stopped by the prohibited work by the Israelis. And in reality, from the 7th of October, 9 other countries have also recognized the Palestinian state.
Israel no longer belongs within the civilized community of nations, and its barbarism demands nothing less than decisive action to safeguard not just the Middle East, but the entire global order. 50 years ago, the world was so horrified by the atrocities in South Africa that the United Nations General Assembly took the unprecedented step of denying its government a seat of the assembly. Israel, however, has gone beyond the pale, beyond reason, beyond humanity itself in its vile and blatant perpetration of genocide of the people of Palestine. These cumulative acts of violence against an entire nation leaves us with no choice but to demand the swift and effective action of the international community, including embargo, suspension, and even expulsion.
A senior Hezbollah official says the resistance movement has the necessary stockpiles of weapons to continue its retaliatory operations against Israel for a long period of time.
Of the battlefield can be seen by you, and it will have the final word. For you will not win this war only with air force or with continuous killing of civilians, women and children, and the air raids. As long as you are incapable of fighting us on the ground, and as long as you are incapable of advancing on the ground,
the people of Palestine. The head of Hezbollah's media relations office, Mohammad Afif, made these statements during a presser on the occasion of Martyrs' Day in Lebanon on Monday. He paid tribute to Hezbollah Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah and remembered the great role that he played as the entire nation's leader. Afif also stated that The enemy's attempts at sowing sedition cannot break the unity between the Lebanese National Army, the resistance, and the people. The Lebanese resistance movement, Hezbollah says, its fighters have targeted several Israeli positions in a series of fresh retaliatory strikes. According to the group, barrages of rockets were fired at gatherings of Israeli soldiers in the Lebanese town of Marun al-Ra'sa and the Israeli military base al-Abad. Hezbollah has also targeted the city of Safed and the northern occupied territories with even more rockets. Hezbollah says the attacks are in support of the Palestinian people and in defense of Lebanon. Israel recently intensified its aerial strikes on Lebanon and launched a ground invasion of the country. Since last October, Israeli attacks have killed nearly 3,200 people and injured nearly 14,000 others. No let-up in the Israeli strikes in Gaza, where the regime has so far killed more than 43,600 Palestinians, over 70% of them women and children. The latest series of Israeli attacks have left scores of Palestinians dead in the central Nusayra refugee camp and in the northern city of Jabalia. Our correspondent in Deir al-Bala, Moti Abu Masabe, gave us more details.
Moments ago here, the Palestinian people mourned the killing of the Palestinian journalist Hamad Fraiz, who was killed over the last night alongside his wife when the Israeli fighter drones attacked them while they were taking shelter in their makeshift tent in the western part of Al-Nusayra refugee camp. Mohammed Fraiz joined the long list of the Palestinian journalists. At least 189 Palestinian journalists have been killed since the onset of the genocidal onslaught against Gaza Strip, and this number is still soaring as a result of the systematic and the ongoing Israeli attacks targeting the Palestinian journalists in Gaza Strip, aiming to mute and silence the voice of the Palestinian people. In the meantime, the Israeli attacks were continued against various parts of the middle area of Gaza Strip, basically Al-Nusayra refugee camp, which is still the focal area of those systematic and ongoing attacks. At least five residential buildings were destroyed over the last night, but the Israeli attacks were maintained heavily against the southern part of Gaza City, including Sabra and Azetour neighborhood. And when it comes to the northern part of Gaza Strip, the current situation is still beyond catastrophic for the Palestinian people, who are still facing this ongoing genocidal campaign aiming to extirpate the Palestinian existence from the northern part of Gaza Strip. More massacres were committed over the past couple of hours, and particularly when it comes to Beit Lahia City and Jabalia refugee camp.
To the occupied West Bank, where the Israeli regime's violence continues as its forces have once again raided several towns and refugee camps. In the Jalal Zone camp, IOS soldiers conducted detaining operations and blocked access to the camp's main road. Meanwhile, in the village of Burqa, Israeli settlers backed by regime forces attacked and injured several Palestinians. Our correspondent, Naka Hamad, joined us earlier from Ramallah.
The IOF has started raiding Al Jalal Zone, a refugee camp, since the early hours of the morning, performing the raid on the camp itself, and detaining operations, arresting Palestinians from inside the refugee camp, from Al Jalal Zone refugee camp, closing the main roads all around the area that surrounds the Al Jalal Zone military Al Jalal Zone refugee camp. From the early hours of the morning, not only Al Jalal Zone refugee camp, but also in the nearby village of Burqa, the IOF raided Burqa village and also backed with the settlers who attacked the Palestinians who were going out of Al-Fajr prayer, attacked them and caused many injuries among the Palestinians in Burqa. Also into the northern cities, we are talking about the city of Qalqilia, especially in the area of Azdun, that was incursed and was a raid is being attacked. A raid is being actually performed now on the area of Azdun since the hours of the early morning. In addition to that, many incursions have been done throughout the hours of the night. We are talking about raiding Al-Khalil. We are talking about a raid that has been done to the town of Beit Umar to the north of Al-Khalil, confiscation of many belongings to Palestinians.
The Islamic resistance in Iraq says that it has carried out new operations, striking a number of Israeli targets deep inside the occupied territories. The umbrella group of Iraqi resistance factions says that it conducted a drone attack targeting vital targets inside the northern occupied territories. The attack marked the group's eighth consecutive attack against Israeli targets since Sunday night. The Islamic resistance says that its operations are in support of the Palestinian and Lebanese people. It stressed that the strikes are also in response to the massacres carried out by the Israeli regime against civilians, including women and children and the elderly, across the occupied territory. So Iraqi resistance has vowed to press ahead with its anti-Israeli operations with increasing intensity. And the spokesman for the Yemeni armed forces says his country has carried out new military operations against targets inside occupied Palestine.
The missile force in the Yemeni armed forces carried out a specific military operation targeting the Nahal Sorek military base southeast Yaffa in occupied Palestine. The hit was accurate and led to a fire ignition in the vicinity of the targeted site. The operation was carried out with a hypersonic ballistic missile Palestine 2 and achieved its objective.
Earlier, Israeli media reported a ballistic missile was fired towards the south of the occupied West Bank and the west of Al-Quds. A fire was also caused by falling shrapnel from interceptor missiles in the occupied West Al-Quds. Yemenis have declared that their open support for Palestine's struggle against the Israeli occupation since the regime launched a devastating war on Gaza in October last year. The Yemenis have imposed a ban on the passage of Israeli-linked ships in the Red Sea region. They say these operations will not cease until unrelenting Israeli ground and aerial offensives on Gaza and Lebanon stop. Also, Israel has carried out fresh strikes on Syria a day after the regime conducted a deadly attack on the Arab country's capital, Damascus. Syrian state media said the Monday strike hit a village south of the western city of Homs. The details about the attack were sketchy. This comes a day after seven civilians, including women and children, were killed in an Israeli airstrike on Damascus countryside. The attack targeted a residential building and also left 20 people injured. Now, a new report issued by an Israeli institution shows that more and more illegal settlers are leaving the occupied Palestine, highlighting a troubling trend for the Israeli regime. This raises serious concerns about the socioeconomic and political climate facing the regime in the future.
The Israeli Shoresh Institution for Socioeconomic Research has released a new report showing a significant rise in the number of Israelis choosing to leave the occupied Palestinian territories. According to the report, the migration has surged by 42%, while the number of people returning from abroad has declined. The Shoresh report, which relies on data from the Central Bureau of Statistics, indicates that 24,900 Israelis chose to leave the occupied lands in recent months. At the same time, the number of returnees has dropped by 7% compared to the past decade's average, highlighting a concerning disparity between immigrants and returnees. The report cautions that this escalating trend could have significant long-term socioeconomic ramifications for a regime already grappling with numerous economic challenges.
And what we find now in historic Palestine is nothing but instability. And so you have, for example, the Port of Eilat filing for bankruptcy. And you have the shekel, the value of the shekel, dropping on international markets. And so you have people fleeing the country.
The report warns that continued political and security crisis could exacerbate this trend, leading to significant challenges for Israel's demographic and economic future. This particularly at a time when the regime is externally grappling with economic consequences of the two wars it has launched on Gaza and Lebanon and facing deep political and social divisions at the internal front.
Iran's foreign ministry has slammed as unjustified a decision by Germany to close all three Iranian consulates in the European country. The move was in response to the death of an Iranian with dual nationality. Ismail Baghaei said Tehran is in contact with Berlin and working to make sure Iranians living in Germany face no trouble receiving consular services. He said Iran's mission in Belgium and Switzerland will reoffer services in the closed consulates. Baghaei also condemned Berlin's support for Israel and said Germany's so-called anti-Semitism initiatives will become an excuse for oppressing anti-Israeli regime voices. He also said Tehran will continue its diplomatic efforts to stop the Israeli genocide in Gaza and its aggression on Lebanon. He said Tehran is hopeful that the emergency meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in Riyadh will start a process to stop the Israeli aggression in the region. Now, the Russian banking network known as Mir has been connected to Iran's banking network. This in a ceremony attended by Iran's central bank governor, Mohammad Reza Farzin. By connecting the two countries' local payment systems, Iranian nationals can use their ATM cards to receive money in rubles while in Russia. The second phase of the link-up process will allow Russian nationals to use Iranian ATMs. And the third phase will make POS terminals operational in Russian stores. Iran and Russia, both subjected to illegal Western sanctions, have over the past years deepened their relations in various fields, including economy and trade. And now with that, we come to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
According to a new report by the UN Human Rights Office, close to 70% of Palestinians martyred in Gaza are women and children. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, close to 70% of Palestinians killed in Gaza are children and women, indicating a systematic violation of the fundamental principles of international humanitarian law, according to a new report by the UN Human Rights Office. The detailed analysis on violations covers the 6 months from November 2023 to April 2024 and broadly examines the killing of civilians and breaches of international law that in many instances could amount to war crimes, the office said in a press statement. The reporter states, if committed as part of a widespread or systematic attack directed against a civilian population, further to a state or organizational policy, these violations may constitute crimes against humanity. And if committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group, they may also constitute genocide. The reporter states that the International Court of Justice, in its series of orders on provisional measures, underscored the international obligations of Israel to prevent, protect against, and punish acts of genocide and associated prohibited conduct.
UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk stressed the imperative for the Zionist regime fully and immediately to comply with those obligations. He said, "It is essential that there is due reckoning with respect to the allegations of serious violations of international law through credible and impartial judicial bodies, and that, in the meantime, all relevant information and evidence are collected and preserved." The office has been verifying the personal details of those killed in Gaza by strikes, shelling, and other conduct of hostilities, and of those fatalities, it has so far found close to 70% to be children and women, indicating a systematic violation of the fundamental principles of international humanitarian law, including distinction and proportionality. The continuation of these attacks, killing evenly across the population, demonstrates an apparent indifference to the death of civilians and the impact of the means and methods of warfare selected, the report stated. The most representative verified fatalities are children, the report found. And the three categories of age most represented were children aged from 5 to 9 years old, children from 10 to 14 years old, and babies and children from 0 to 4 years old. Of the verified fatalities, about 80% were killed in residential buildings or similar housing, out of which 44% were children and 26% were women. The high number of fatalities per attack was principally due to the Zionist regime use of weapons with wide area effects in densely populated areas, the office said. The report also raises concerns with respect to forcible transfer, attacks on hospitals in apparent systematic fashion, and journalists. It also points to the reported use of white phosphorus munitions. Turk said, "Our monitoring indicates that this unprecedented level of killing and injury of civilians is a direct consequence of the failure to comply with fundamental principles of international humanitarian law, namely the principles of distinction, proportionality, and precautions in attack." He added, "Tragically, these documented patterns of violations continue unabated over 1 year after the start of the war." He stressed, "The trends and patterns of violations and of applicable international law as clarified by the International Court of Justice must inform the steps to be taken to end the current crisis." Following a UN Security Council resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire, the child killer regime of Israel has faced international condemnation amid its continued brutal offensive on the Gaza Strip. Currently on trial before the International Court of Justice for Genocide Against Palestinians, the Zionist regime has been waging a devastating war on Gaza since October 7, 2023. According to Gaza's Ministry of Health, at least 43,508 Palestinians have been martyred, and at least 102,684 wounded in the Zionist regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza, starting on October 7, 2023. Moreover, at least 11,000 people are unaccounted for, presumed dead under the rubble of their homes throughout the Gaza Strip. Palestinian and international organizations say that the majority of those martyred and wounded are women and children. The Zionist regime war has resulted in an acute famine, mostly in northern Gaza, resulting in the martyrdom of many Palestinians, mostly children. The Zionist regime aggression has also resulted in the forceful displacement of nearly 2 million people from all over the Gaza Strip, with the vast majority of the displaced forced into the densely crowded southern city of Rafah near the border with Egypt, in what has become Palestine's largest mass exodus since 1948 Nakba. Later in the war, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians began moving from the south to central Gaza in a constant search for safety.
Ocean of Dua. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In today's program, we will listen to a commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
On that morn, before the world was born, in the snow. Near and far, did we the cadence of divine music hear? Did we the cadence of
divine music? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the All Beneficent, the Ever Merciful, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the best and the last of the Prophets Muhammad and his pure and infallible progeny and household, especially his last successor, Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you and with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the Ocean of Dua, and I am Abdul Raza Bahrani. Insha'Allah, I will explain and interpret the passages and sentences of Ziyarat al-Yasin in this series of lectures. Now, let's listen to some passages of this Ziyarat.
The Ziyara of al-Yasin.
Ushhaduka ya Mawlai Anni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله لا حبيب إلا هو وأهله.
I solicit you, O my master, to testify to me that I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, one and only Lord, and having no associate, and that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. There is no one more beloved by Allah than him and his household.
After saluting Imam alayhi salam with different attributes and names and in different conditions and states of Imam alayhi salam, especially in different states of his salah and prayer, then we start asking Imam alayhi salam to be our witness. To be our witness that we testify that God the Almighty, Allah the Almighty is the only God. In this part of Ziyarat al-Yasin, we say, Ushhaduka ya Mawlai, أني أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. Be my witness, O my Master and Mawla, that I testify that there is no God but Allah, the only one, and there's no partners and associates with him. And then I testify, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is abd and servant of Allah the Almighty and his Rasul and Messenger. And we said that from among all other attributes of the Holy Prophet, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his pure and infallible household, only being a abd is mentioned and God's Messenger. When we want to testify, the part which is mostly important for us in testifying is that the Holy Prophet is the Messenger of God. So we testify that Allah is our Lord and God, and there's no other gods with him. And then we testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his Messenger. But we see that more than testifying to the messengerhood of the Holy Prophet, we testify firstly that the Holy Prophet is a abd and servant of God the Almighty. And it shows that being abd is so much important. And this word, being a abd, is not just to worship. The important point here is not worshipping, is not ibadah. But the important point here is to be a servant, an obedient servant. So here, obedience is much more important. And a person whose heart is obedient to Allah the Almighty, he has gained a great thing. And even if he does not worship Allah the Almighty a lot, I mean, he is not engaged in acts of worship like offering prayers and fasting and the other things a lot, he will have a better rank before God the Almighty than a person whose heart is not obedient but engages himself in worshiping God the Almighty and engages himself in the acts of worship such as offering the prayers and fasting and reciting the Holy Quran. Because ibadah is different from being an abd.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How to pray for the faraj or the relief. Imam al-Asr ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif to his second representative, Muhammad bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayh, addressing the Shias, says, pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief. One who is disturbed, distressed, and heartbroken due to the separation from the Imam, the prayers of such a person, they have two effects. Either the Imam's arrival will be hastened, all the afflictions, the problems, and the distresses of the person praying for the relief of the Imam, they will be removed. As a result, he will be eased, he will be pleased, and will be comforted. In either cases, as Imam al-Asr ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif has said, وَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى لِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ فَرَجْكُمْ. Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief.
اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى كل
مهداً وناصراً ودليلاً وعيناً حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعاً وتمتعه فيها.
The Ocean of Dua, commentary of Ziyara al-Yassin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Obedience is very important here, and that is why we testify that our Prophet, for mostly and primarily, is the abd and servant of God the Almighty, and then Rasuluhu. And of course, we also learn from the Holy Prophet that in order to be revered by Allah the Almighty, in order to attain nearness and closeness to God our Lord, we need to be obedient to Allah. And after that, we say that La Habiba illa huwa wa ahlu. There are no beloved one except the Holy Prophet and his family. When we compare the family of the Holy Prophet with the other people, we find out that we cannot find anyone more beloved than the Holy Prophet. Because after God the Almighty, we cannot find anyone with mercy more than mercy of the Holy Prophet and his family toward the people. And as we mentioned before, that Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, like his fathers and especially like the Holy Prophet, they are ar-rahmatul wasa'ah. They are a comprehensive rahmah and mercy. And the reason that we love someone is because that person is good to us. The better he is, the more we love him. And we cannot find anyone better than the Holy Prophet and his family. And we know that the good things that they have done to us are a lot. Of course, I do not have enough time to talk about those narrations in which they emphasize that the Holy Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, in different occasions, they sacrificed themselves for the well-being of their followers and Shia. The Holy Prophet sacrificed himself for the well-being and prosperity and happiness of his ummah. And because of that, they deserve to be loved by us more than anyone else. And the other thing is that they are the manifestation of all attributes, all beautiful names of God the Almighty. And this is something natural, that we love a person who is good, who has good characteristics. This is the nature of human being. And we cannot find anyone on the face of the earth better and lovelier than the Holy Prophet and his family. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The limelight.
Hoping for better conditions in West Asia region because of a change in administration in Washington is essentially a false hope and is very unlikely to happen. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The return of Donald Trump to the White House was not entirely unexpected. The Republican candidate and former president, infamous for his racist rhetoric, defeated the sitting Vice President Kamala Harris, who, along with President Joe Biden, had been a primary backer of Israel's genocidal war in Gaza and in Lebanon. While many are elated that Kamala Harris and the Democrats are out of power because of their role in sponsoring the worst humanitarian catastrophe in modern age in the Gaza Strip, Joe Biden's successor may not be an ideal replacement. To quote Palestinian-British doctor Ghassan Abu Sitta, "Gone is a genocidal president too hypocritical to admit it, and in comes a genocidal president who wears it as a badge of honor." Make no mistakes, the switch in government in Washington does not mean an end to U.S. complicity in the ongoing genocide in Gaza or a halt to American military support for the child-murdering regime in Tel Aviv. Presidents change, but the policy does not. Donald Trump, along with his son-in-law and self-proclaimed Zionist Jared Kushner, led the so-called Abraham Accords sham, which paved the way for some Arab regimes to shamefully normalize their ties with the Zionist regime just a few years ago. It was also Donald Trump who relocated the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to the occupied city of Al-Quds. And who can forget the cowardly assassination of top anti-terror commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani in 2020, ordered by Donald Trump himself. Amid the genocidal war in Gaza and Lebanon, Trump has slammed the Biden-Harris administration for being too weak in their support for the Zionist regime, and has given no indication that he intends to end the carnage of Palestinians or broker a ceasefire agreement. Does this mean that Kamala Harris was the preferred choice as president? Absolutely not. The genocide in Gaza, aggression against Yemen, Iraq and Iran, and hybrid warfare against those who materially support the resistance were key markers of the Biden-Harris administration over the past 4 years. This stance also cost the Democrats vote among Arab and Muslim Americans in battleground states such as Michigan. While strategies and tactics may change marginally between different administrations, the key point is that political orientation does not change. The political orientation of the United States towards West Asia and the rest of the world is rooted in an imperialist framework where nothing short of complete submission to the American hegemonic project is tolerated. Therefore, hoping for better conditions within the West Asia region because of a change in administration in Washington is essentially a false hope. During Trump's last administration, the world witnessed that the word of Americans cannot be trusted. As Trump unilaterally pulled out of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, signed in 2015 between Iran and the world powers. He then imposed unprecedented sanctions on Iran, especially following the COVID-19 pandemic, in order to punish Iran and its people. Thus, even if a Harris victory had materialized, who could guarantee the next administration, or even the Harris administration itself, would not rip up existing agreements and further mock international law and multilateral institutions? However, there are a few predictable actions that Donald Trump will likely take upon taking office. Notably, he has campaigned on the threat of de-dollarization. Countries developing outside the U.S. imperialist order have increasingly sought to free themselves from the U.S. dollar, the world's currency reserve. Emerging economic alliances like BRICS, that is Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa, joined by Iran, United Arab Emirates, Ethiopia and Egypt, as well as the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, and others have move towards trade in local currencies and even discuss establishing a common currency among themselves. Donald Trump has stated that he would not allow countries to go off the US dollar, threatening to impose 100% tariffs on goods from countries that defy the dollar's dominance. Previously, the Trump administration introduced high-pressure sanctions on Iran, as well as on Venezuela, Nicaragua, China, and others, seeking to cripple local economies and create economic chaos in these countries. The introduction of tariffs also highlights the overall decline of the U.S. dollar, which is attributed to years of its weaponization, as the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen acknowledged earlier this year. As we have observed, the more the U.S. weaponizes the U.S. dollar, the more countries outside its influence seek alternative methods. The website Electronic Intifada has also covered the same story and tells us more. Regarding the Israeli regime's ongoing aggression in Gaza and Lebanon, Donald Trump will likely continue American support for the apartheid regime, as the Zionist project remains America's gateway into the region. In fact, the United States often justifies its presence in the West Asia region as necessary to defend its key ally, Israel, which Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did unapologetically since October of last year, despite domestic protests. Donald Trump met up with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu during his campaign and is known to have close ties with him. While the Biden-Harris administration avoided publicly embracing Netanyahu, hoping to attract votes from Muslim and Arab Americans, but they still sent Israel billions of dollars worth of weaponry, which has been used to massacre tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians in Gaza, as well as people in Lebanon. Further, they supported the Zionist regime by bombing Yemen and resistance groups in Iraq while providing intelligence and logistical support for attacks inside Iran. Donald Trump will continue this support operation without pandering to a domestic Arab and Muslim bloc. He does not need to pretend to care about Arabs and Muslims. In his previous administration, Trump backed arms sales to the Israeli regime, whilst weapons manufacturers like Boeing, Raytheon and others were key donors to both Democratic and Republican campaigns and played a major role in shaping U.S. foreign policy. Alongside weapons manufacturers, oil and gas giants like Chevron and ExxonMobil also influenced the direction of U.S. foreign policy, benefiting billions of dollars from U.S. imperialist foreign policy. Donald Trump has openly declared his motive, such as when he stated that U.S. military presence in Syria is only for the oil in 2019. There were no major troop withdrawals from Syria during the Biden-Harris administration. Rather, troop numbers increased to protect Israel. This suggests the ongoing theft of Syrian oil and other natural resources will continue. Therefore, Trump's victory merely removes the mask from the essence of American imperialist project. While the Biden-Harris administration implemented imperialist plunder and genocide in West Asia region apologetically, Donald Trump does not apologize. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines: Muslim and Arab heads of states are in Riyadh to discuss ways to stop the Israeli aggression in Gaza and Lebanon. A senior Hezbollah official says the resistance movement is well prepared and has enough stockpiles of weapons to continue retaliatory operations against Israel for a long time. And more Palestinians are killed as Israel continues its genocidal war on Gaza. The death toll from the 400 days of onslaught has topped 43,000.